It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning and welcome to Lightning Radio here on the Q at 5 and a half minutes after 8 in the morning. The Lightning is on the streets, it's in your mailboxes, and this morning, as usual, it is on the radio. And I'm joined via Skype by Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Happy Lightning Thursday to you, Bill Moss.
Good morning to you as well, Mark, and the community, and happy Lightning Thursday as well.
All right, the Lightning is printed, it is out, and let's get behind the headlines, Bill. Let's get started. Your headline here on the very front page, long headline, but it's important to read the whole thing, I believe. Democrats report higher campaign take in battle to flip Republican House seats. Bill, I know politics time, you're like a pig in slop, so let's spend some time on this one.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we also, we like to follow the politics, and that often means another one of our favorite sidelines, which is follow the money.
Yeah.
In this case, following the money of the politics. And so you've got, this is not entirely new news, because I have to say that in 2018, the Democrats trying to pick up House seats and a state Senate seat actually raised a fair amount of money in that election cycle and didn't move the needle much. So we'll see, is the landscape with an obvious much more up ballot activity and enthusiasm from the president, obviously, to the governor and council of state and judge seats and so forth, before they ever get to many of these races, how much fall off there'll be, we don't know. But right now you got for that maybe the most interest, because it is an open seat, not an incumbent with the natural incumbent's advantage, is that State House 117 seat that is being vacated, sadly, some people in the community say, by what's been a very effective representation from Chuck McGrady. But it is. Chuck McGrady is losing a bunch of weight and gaining a lot of physical fitness and hiking a lot of trails, and God bless him and more power to him in that role. So seeking to replace Chuck or Josh Remillard, the Democratic nominee, Iraq War veteran, and family, has a little family in Mills River. And Tim Moffitt, the people might recall, served two terms representing Western Buncombe County, but is a graduate of West Henderson High School and has property and lives now in the Bearwalla community of northern Henderson County, out there in some of our highest peaks, actually. Bearwalla is second highest, and right next door, Little Pisgah is the highest peak in Henderson County, I believe. But anyway, Josh Remillard raised $16,699 in the second period. Not an unimpressive amount, and was more than Tim Moffitt raised at $4,003. And Tim Moffitt has a really strange-looking campaign finance report. We've reported on it at least once, if not twice before, that he's been carrying this campaign finance debt from his previous campaign. So all of his campaign finance reports bleed red. He shows a holdover debt from the previous campaign of $97,000 and loans of $39,500. Not entirely unusual. If somebody has the means to self-finance, they loan their campaign money, sometimes with the expectation that they'll one day get it back, and sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. So that's just the way it is if somebody, has the wealth to self-finance. And looks like that's what's going on there more with Tim Moffitt, certainly than I would say any other candidates. Senator Edwards will talk about in a minute. He has made a much smaller loan to his committee. Remillard's campaign boasted that that money raised in the second quarter, I think this was, has been more than any Democrat from Henderson County in more than a decade, although it's not more than Sam Edney in another state House seat, who is not a Henderson County Democrat, but a Pittsburgh, Transylvania County. Revelard, his total included 149 individual donors with an average contribution of $109. Among the donors were Ashley Esther Mannheimer with she ponied up $100, and Patsy Kiever, the former Buncombe County Commissioner, State House member, and 2012 Democratic nominee for Congress, gave $350. So Remillard, we interview, he's got, actually has a campaign manager. We interviewed the campaign manager, a fellow by the name of Daniel Otto, who is an import from Oxford, Ohio, but says he has experience in red districts, and I've turned a few blue, he told the Lightning. And he talks some more about some of their plans and how they've been campaigning in a virtual instead of a on-the-ground, face-to-face world.
Interesting. So that's that seat. Let's talk about the dollars and some of the other seats as well that are coming up for election this round.
Exactly right. In the 113th State House District, the aforementioned Sam Edney. He raised a whopping $72,000 in the second quarter and has raised a total of $122,000 so far, and has a handsome cash on hand total of $85,000. Whereas the incumbent, State Rep Jake Johnson of Saluda, the Republican that was appointed to the seat to fill the unexpired term of after Cody Henson resigned. He reported a much smaller amount in the second quarter of $2,800, around $46,000 overall, and cash on hand of $21,000. So the Democrats do have some money to invest in an attempt to flip this seat. It's made up of Transylvania and Polk County, and the southern bordering on South Carolina seats of Henderson County, which always give the Republican nominee a pretty strong edge. It's only part of the county, but it's still a lot of votes because it's pretty heavily populated. It's Flat Rock, it's Etowah, that area of the county.
So
we'll see. There's a better shot, I would think, for Edney to try to do well in Transylvania County. He lives in Pisgah Forest. And Polk County is a bit more swingable than Henderson County is, for sure. And then you've got an attempt in the 48th Senate District held by State Senator Chuck Edwards. You've got the attempt by Mills River Town Council member Brian Caskey to try to win that one. A little bit redrawn. It's still pretty red. It didn't get much bluer, but it's a tad bluer, you might say. When that was one of the ones around the state that a judge said had to be redrawn. The Republicans they did it kind of by computer. There wasn't a whole lot of fussing about how it was redrawn from what I recall, but we'll see how that goes. Edwards took in $39,000, loaned himself $8,100, and has raised a total of $126,000, has around $70,000 cash in the bank, where Caskey raised $15,000 in the second quarter, has raised $38,000 overall, has cash on hand of $14,000. And then one more, if you'd like to hear.
Yeah.
Would you like to the 11th Congressional District?
Oh, absolutely. That's a hot one, yes.
It's a hot one with because the incumbent that left this seat is nationally, if not world known at this point, because he became Mark Meadows is the name of the man, and he became White House chief of staff. And so you got I still don't know if Democrats overall would be willing to invest a lot of money because it's still somebody told me it's about a plus seven Republican. You know, in a usual by voting, voting history, voting behavior. And you've got a really interesting Republican nominee. If he wins, we will have a congressman from Hendersonville, Henderson County in Congress for, I think it may be the 50s or 60s since we last did, but that's Madison Cawthorn. He's received around $803,000, and I say received rather than raised because he, too, has loaned himself. He's financed self-financed to the tune of around $373,000, according to the Federal Election Commission records that we reviewed, where Mo and had, let's see what his cash on hand has. He has cash on hand of $164,000, whereas Mo Davis, a Democratic nominee, retired military JAG officer that ran some prosecutions in Guantanamo Bay. He raised $488,000 in the this is campaign wide. That's from the start, I believe, and has pretty good cash on hand of $268,000. And finally, in reviewing records as compiled by the Center for Responsive Politics, it runs a really good campaign finance website called OpenSecrets.org. That showed that 57.5% of Davis's donations were what they call small donations, $200 or less, while 21% of Madison Cawthorn's donations were of that size.
I can only imagine, and I'm surprised we haven't yet, I can only imagine we'll be seeing some of that spending pretty soon here, at least for this 11th congressional district.
You know, yeah, I think you're right. Often get to the Tuesday after Labor Day, and that's often kind of the unofficial kickoff. But I wouldn't surprise me with the expected popularity of mail-in voting, of absentee voting, voting by mail, and people saying, "I want to get this out of the way. I'm ready. I know who I want." It wouldn't surprise me that spending, that marketing in print, I would recommend and hope online, on the radio, on television, especially we'll begin to see that. You know, we'll get to that point, Mark. Be prepared if you don't want to be running through the mud for all of the many hours of local television that airs on WLOS. Be prepared for those to be completely filled with political ads, I would say starting around mid-September.
Yep,
I think they usually, and this year in particular, will sell out all of their advertising inventory in the form of political ads.
Yep, absolutely. Locally and statewide and nationally, I'm sure.
Absolutely. All of the above.
So, and this 11th congressional district, you said still it gives Republicans a +7, I think you said, this round. And that's even after those lines have been redrawn, because because Asheville's a little more in the district now.
I asked somebody who I thought would know. And he's, you know, with the way they get computers to analyze this stuff, you can, with the push of a button, see what the changes were. How did this precinct vote that's in it versus the ones that used to be in it? It just wasn't all that much different. It wasn't. I think it wasn't the areas of Buncombe County. They didn't take in the areas of say downtown or you know of Asheville that would have been like 70% blue. I don't think they did that when they redrew.
Okay, interesting. It'll be interesting to follow, without a doubt. Hey, before we go on break, let's stay somewhat on politics still, and go to page 2, where you have the story of Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue and North Carolina Ag Commissioner Steve Troxler stopping in and visiting the Flavor First operation in Mills River.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's ever not politics when you got an appointed U.S. Agriculture Secretary who's an appointee of Trump. When you got our own NC Agriculture Commissioner Steve Troxler, he's very popular around the state and will have no trouble winning re-election. Many other people on hand to watch this. A bit of a dog and pony show, but a good one for sure, because it really held up. It highlighted Kirby Johnson's operation out there in Mills River, which is huge. That's a big packing house, and that's kind of the nerve center or headquarters of Kirby's operation. But they go all the way down to South Georgia and Homestead, Florida, And he packs his own, he packs what he grew, and he packs what others send him. And what the Ag Secretary, Sonny Perdue, highlighted was the packing operation of these farmer-to-family food boxes. And this is a coronavirus-inspired program that feeds the hungry. People are out of jobs. They need a box of food, and it feeds them through these food boxes that are filled obviously with fruits and vegetables, including very soon some Henderson County apples, cucumbers, squash, green peppers, all that sort of thing. And that is bought at, they say, at roughly market price from the farmers. So it's not, this is not harvest gleaning or something like that. Farmers are getting a good price for a Kirby's shipping around 7,000 food boxes a week to distribution centers run by the Baptist Home Mission, which I think bid for last mile delivery of the fruit and vegetables to churches, food pantries, and other agencies to give to needy, hungry families.
That's a great story. We'll be back with more with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. You're listening to Lightning Radio here on theCUBE.
Kaysen Builder Supply, the official sponsor of patio season, providing quality landscape and masonry materials, exceptional customer service, and superior delivery from locations in East Flat Rock, Brevard, and Greer. Now is the time to prepare for patio season with a visit to Kaysen Builder Supply in East Flat Rock to see displays of outdoor rooms, pavers, retaining walls, and fire pits. Kaysen Builder Supply, providing exceptional service for over 40 years. The official sponsor of patio season. KaysenCompaniesInc.com.
We are back with Lightning Thursday, Lightning Radio, here on theCUBE with Bill Moss. Bill, let's stick with politics for just one more short story that happened, I guess, last week, and it was on the web for a while, and now it's on now it's in print and on page 6, I guess it is. Some business owners and politicians got together to air some grievances regarding Governor Cooper.
Yeah, they did indeed, Mark. Reporter Andrew Dundas has been doing a great job for us in the summertime before he goes back to his senior year at Chapel Hill, covered that. You can read all about it. It was organized by the state Republican Party. The state chairman of the Republican Party came up and recruited a bunch of people to sit around a table and complain about the coronavirus restrictions. It didn't appear a whole lot was accomplished, except I guess they successfully tried to make the governor look bad. You can read and judge for yourself what their comments were intended to achieve.
All right. All right. Let's back up and let's go to page 4. I love this headline. New city attorney knows the way to the courthouse.
Oh, she does indeed. And they'll know who she is when she gets there.
Yep.
Because the new city attorney plucked from a pretty big field, I think of a dozen candidates and narrowed down to 4, is Angela Beaker, who has served as both the Henderson County attorney and was promoted by David Nicholson to assistant county manager. She practiced law in a solo practice that she owned and managed herself, and then went to the old Frank Jackson law practice, but the F.B. Jackson law practice. That's the building on Church Street that is going to be replaced one of these days by a parking deck, if that still comes to pass. People might remember her from a while ago as Angela Skerritt. She's a native of Hendersonville and the daughter of Sandra and Oliver Skerritt, who are both from Transylvania County. He was a Baptist preacher, so she lived a few different areas. Interestingly, she earned a degree, and guess what this is? Biomedical engineering from Duke University. Thought she was going to med school, but switched to law school, and Henderson County and Hendersonville is all the more blessed for it.
Wow, that's a great story, Bill. Thank you. Let's touch on another story that is that's on the website, but not in print yet, and that is Party Foundation now has a new director.
Yeah, this was really good. It just came out, I think, in the form of a news release yesterday that Party UNC Healthcare announced that they had a really large and good pool of candidates for that foundation director, and they pulled out a fish. They hired Miles Fish as executive director of the Party Hospital Foundation. I don't know if he's ordained. I imagine he is at some point. He's been the director of stewardship for First Presbyterian Church of Greensboro. He's got a long career. He has a master's in divinity and he has a doctorate. I think in nonprofit management or something like that. Has served in 30 years helping organization focus on everything from land conservancy to children's issues and human trafficking to disaster response and in the healthcare. So sounds like a really good fit. Sounds like a really accomplished and experienced person to fill that really important role in our town.
Yep, absolutely. Let's move on to page 8, Bill, and let's talk about the Conservancy. Conservancy donation creates a 100,000-acre public land corridor.
More good news on the environmental front. With the this was the last piece of the so-called Continental Divide tract, which was itself around 717 acres. So this last piece of 315 acres does something really amazing, which closes the so-called missing link between DuPont State Recreation Forest and a vast conservation corridor spanning more than 100,000 acres and including, obviously, DuPont. Let me see the list here of what all they were. Here we go. That includes, in addition to DuPont, Jones Gap State Park, Caesars Head State Park, Mountain Bridge Wilderness Area, Headwaters State Forest, Greenville Watershed, Jacassi Gorges, and Gorges State Park, and then further west, Sumter and Nantahala National Forest. So it is a really big deal, and there's more opportunity that we should credit Conserving Carolina. That's who we're talking about, having completed this last purchase and conveyed it to the state of North Carolina, bringing up the decent potential for more recreation, you know, more passive recreation, whether it's walking trails or biking trails or fishing and other kinds of activities in the forest over time.
Yeah, that is great news. That was a really good one to hear, and thank you for covering that story. Let's go to poetry for a minute. Flat Rock Gallery is hosting Tim Jones. His first poetry book launched this coming Saturday.
There certainly is. Yeah, Tim Jones. People might know him. He too is a longtime native of this county. It didn't make it into the story because it actually had to do with one of the pictures that we weren't able to run. But he was interviewed at this home in Flat Rock, I think it was, that his father was caretaker for. Tim's father was caretaker for this home. And then along with they sent another picture that we'll add that to the website so people can look at it with him, with his mom looking really, really young, holding Tim. And the importance of where this interview took place was it was where little Tim took his first steps as a toddler. So that was kind of neat. But anyway, so Tim Jones, people may know him now as one of the preachers at St. James Episcopal Church and also the operations director, I think is his title, at Hendersonville Rescue Mission. And we've also had stories in the past and run some of his photos. He's a terrific, absolutely terrific nature photographer.
Yeah.
And I guess quite the Renaissance man overall, because now it turns out he's a poet, and his collection of poems called Blue Mountain Poems debuts and is highlighted with a social distancing book signing event from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. this coming Saturday, August 1st, and that is at the gallery at Flat Rock. Check it out, which is at Flat Rock Square at 2702A Greenville Highway there in Flat Rock across from the Playhouse.
Yeah, Suzanne at Flat Rock Gallery was happy to host this book launch because she has certainly showed his photographs in the gallery very often. You know, the nature photographs you were talking about.
Exactly right. He's had an exhibit in pretty, I would say, within the past year or so, maybe it was last summer or fall, he had an exhibit of his nature photos.
Yep, and so the poetry book launches this coming Saturday. And by the way, both he and Suzanne will be guests on our morning show tomorrow, just after 9 o'clock, to talk about this and learn more about this book and this launch coming up on Saturday. Bill?
And talking about that, one more thing. Excuse me, Mark.
Yeah.
The next brief down is City amps up the fun for open streets this weekend. So people should check out some new opportunities when they have the open streets, which is actually closed streets. But nevertheless, it's called open streets. And it's that means it's open for maybe people on a bicycle, but mostly walking around, with expanded tables and activities such as get there early for Hendersonville Family YMCA, offering free yoga in the 400 block at 8:30 a.m. It looks like it's good this weekend anyway, pretty 500 block centric with Team Echo Shark Lab exhibiting all things shark from 11:30 in the morning till 2:30 in the 500 block. Renzo's Speakeasy Al Fresco at 6 o'clock at night, also in the 500 block. And then cool off with outdoor sprinklers, and there's added outdoor seating, and Mass General is holding a sidewalk sale.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, love Hendo. Good fun downtown. And they've been working real hard to really hone this and make it really something that people would like to come out and, you know, and safely socially distance and still be able to have a good time shopping and supporting our downtown businesses. Bill, let's touch very quickly on something that you typically have here at Hendersonville Lightning. Always, always a fun article to read. And that's the Stuck in the Late Middle with Bill Humlecker. His the headline for this one for this episode is Zooming Through the Pandemic. I think we all know what that feels like.
I'm going to say most of us in our professional and indeed in personal and family lives have become familiar, painfully so in some cases, and more joyfully so in others, I suppose you might say. But he talks about life in the pandemic and Zoom all the time. He makes a really good point here that he's actually from, I guess, some family Zooms, seen some people. Maybe before now, it's just been an audio relationship via phone, but he's seen some of his kinfolk that he hadn't seen in a long time because they've been Skyping or Zooming instead of just talking on the phone. So I thought that was interesting. And it's the usual sort of winking a nudge and a chuckle when it's Humlecker's take on all things Flat Rock and all things Hendersonville and all things with the Grand Boys, Mason and the other fella and the Empress and Princess One and Princess One and Princess Two.
Yeah, always fun with Bill Humlecker and Stuck in the Late Middle. Well, Bill, there's still lots more news in this week's Hendersonville Lightning, which is on the streets and hopefully in people's mailboxes. Tell people where they can get a copy of theirs, Bill.
Oh, by going all around Henderson County, if they'd like to visit any of the 60 Lightning Orange racks, or by going to the dealer partners, such as coffee shops, convenience stores, and the Publix supermarket. Or by going on HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on subscribe and following your way through joining the growing legions of Lightning fans that get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, or easy as pie by calling Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.